2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Welcome back, everybody. This is week 17, DFS Army podcast. I'm telling you, the season's getting ready to wind down, but I'm more excited than anything because we have other stuff that we do. And you know that always with me, I'm Chopadong, and you know with me is our founder, Kevin, of the DFS Army Football Geek. You know for a fact that we have a lot of other stuff that we do. So when I toss it to him, he's going to explain to you guys about something that really happened that was really, really cool this week. So we're no nonsense this week. We're just going to get right on into everything. So, Kevin, how you doing? And why don't you tell everybody what happened this week that was pretty cool?
Yeah, what's up, Chop? The big deal this week was our own LaMarcus Aldridge, a.k.a. Lanao314, taking down both first and third place in the NBA 500K clutch. And, Lanao is the man. Like, he's a member of our group. He's a full-time DFS player. He's a serious GPP multi-entry guy. And, you know, I couldn't be happier for him taking down this big contest. And it's just an opportunity to mention again, as we wind down the season and as it's now Thursday and there's no football on right now, which is a sort of a reminder that we're dealing with week 17 of last week, that we do a lot of other great things within our DFS Army group. In the past year, we've added in a team for NBA, a team for PGA, which is starting up next week, and it's awesome. We do projections and spreadsheets and all of that good stuff for every PGA slate. Taco is the man when it comes to that. We have coverage for soccer going live. Our NBA projections and Boomers Ballers and the whole deal. It's really, really good stuff. So the other big news is we're about to launch our NBA optimization coverage for our Domination Station optimization tool. That is maybe a week away at the most. Really thought it was going to happen, but DraftKings threw us a little bit of a curveball with their multiple positions per player thing, and we're trying to sort of sort that out. But a lot of great things happening. We are a year-round force to be reckoned with. So I'm excited for the year, and I will be concentrating on mainly MMA in the off-season alongside some of our other members. So that should be pretty cool also. I'll keep myself busy working on the site and certainly doing my MMA thing.
Are you going to be as quiet this off-season as you were last off-season?
I don't know if I'm going to be super quiet. Like I said, I'm not going to, I'm not going to step on toes where I'm not an expert. That's kind of been my thing. I like to have sort of people leading the way who know what they're doing in every sport, but I'll be around for MMA for the most part. So I'll be doing a little something there. Maybe even do a couple podcasts on some bigger slates. One of our members, Sun Tzu, is really, really solid with MMA as well. And we've discussed maybe getting together for a podcast or two on some of the larger cards. So we'll do a little bit of that. We'll make sure we get coverage for everything. But I'm certainly not going to present myself as knowing or an expert in any sport that I'm not in possession of expertise in. I do love NASCAR as well, but I'm a player. I'm not an advisor there.
I hear you. It's kind of cool because, I mean, that goes back to what we've got a new soccer writer that's come on board, I think. And, we've got a little bit of hockey and esports stuff, the niche type stuff, too. So really every sport that's offered in DFS, obviously we offer it. So
very cool. And all with really sharp DFS minds.
Absolutely.
All right. So I want to jump into a little bit of week 17. And before we talk about the games, I think it's really important. This is not my first rodeo. I've been doing a lot of week 17s for a lot of years, and I've sort of developed my own specific approach to how I'm going to deal with week 17, and I think it's the smart way to go. So basically, we have a few teams that have nothing to play for this week. They're in the playoffs. They can advance position. The Giants, Dallas, a couple of others that I'll think of as we go along. They're all written out here, but we don't touch anything to do with those teams this week. There's a lot of people asking me, should they go all in on D'Angelo Williams? The answer is no. Same thing for even Darren McFadden, who I like, but no. We're not going to get too involved with these teams that are playing backup players. Yes, it's possible that one of these guys does go off for a big game, sure. But in general, the smart move is just to make a rule and just avoid them for the most part. Same thing for teams with nothing to play for. And we're not going to full fade them, but we're going to play different situations. So when a team has nothing, they've been eliminated, there's two scenarios that might go down. The first thing is sort of injured veterans types. There's no reason to play them. Avoid. Okay. The name DeMarco Murray comes to mind. Then that's just an example of who you don't want to play. This guy's been he's been ridden really hard this year. They have nothing to play for Tennessee. The quarterback is hurt. You know, backups will be in. Season's over for them. They'll probably play Henry at least to give him some more rep or somebody else. But they're not going to trot out the veteran who's had 300 touches, you know, this season already. No, they're not going to trot him out and give him a heavy workload. And if they do, oh, well, I missed it. I'll accept it. But we're not going to play players like that this week. I love week 17, by the way. It's one of my favorite weeks of the season to play DFS. This is the thing. Everywhere I've heard, oh, I hate week 17. This week is tough. I don't like it. This is the best week. Because if you play with this rule of thumb in place, we're going to avoid those bombs. That people are going to hit those bombs. We don't believe coaches this week. Don't believe them. They lie. Coaches lie like crazy. So we're going to stick to teams that either have something to play for or they're a young team with some sort of motivation to get a win. That's where I'm looking at, you know, Jacksonville is like, you know, yeah, they're eliminated, but it's not like they're going to rest Blake Bortles. Like, this guy sucks this year. You know, they want to go out with some positive momentum. They don't, you know, had a good game last week. They'd love to have another big game. They're going to go all out. The Saints, we saw last year. They went all out week 17. They were eliminated already. So I expect them to do the same, especially when they're facing a divisional foe that needs the win to advance or something like that, the way that the Saints situation is. That's different. You know, divisional teams love blocking their divisional opponents from having a good playoff finish or even getting into the playoffs. So some of those situations we can target and play. But for the most part, we're just going to play it smart this week. You know, like an Andrew Luck, he's been hobbled all year. T.Y. Hilton, the back injuries. I'm not playing that combo. Yeah, could they go off? Sure, it's possible. Anything's possible. But I'm not touching it because Hilton's back's been keeping him out of games. Why would I take a chance? Like, if this guy gets hurt at all, they're going to be like, yeah, I'll pull him from the game. Forget it. You know, let's bring him back healthy next year. You know, no need to torture him. So that's sort of the way I'm looking at it this week. If there's any sort of injury history, no. If it's a veteran who really doesn't need to prove himself for next year, they've been eliminated, unless it's a unique situation, no. We need to stick with the smart plays. Let the other suckers get cute with their lineup. So that's my week 17 strategy rant.
I think that's a good point because one thing that the guys that are listening here that are, you know, VIPs and those guys that are listening to this pod, one advantage that you have is that tip right there. What we're always trying to do, short slates, we all know, are kind of a crapshoot. And, you know, if you play all the chalk, it's, you know, kind of going to be a point or two away from where everybody in that big fat portion of the bell curve is. But if you play those bigger slates, kind of like we tell new players, stay on some of the smaller slates, you know, because you're going to be close, you're going to be competitive. As you gain skill, gain experience, you expand to those bigger slates. However, what you're saying, where the edge is or where the beauty of this big slate is, it's kind of really a small slate with big slate options, in that there's only if there's a narrow player pool that you're going to be picking from that is in a good spot, is in a good, you know, good chance to perform. Yet there's so many other options out there that look good that people are going to fall into those traps, thereby creating our edge.
Exactly. People are going to try to get cute. They always do this week. I've already seen it. People asking me, how do you like this lineup? I'm like, I don't like it. because it's going against the things that I was just talking about. Again, it doesn't mean that one of these guys won't have a big game. You never know. But for the most part, many of them will not. And why screw around with it?
I like it. Just playing a little bit tighter, a little closer to the vest, and letting everybody else gamble. And
yeah. And we're going to talk a little bit about this, by the way, on every one of these games as we break them down. So I'm going to go over these situations every single game.
Perfect. Well, let me set you up with the first one. Since we got no Thursday game, we'll just dive right into Sunday. Houston at Tennessee. Tennessee, 3-point favorite. Game total 40.5. You've got playoff implications listed. Why don't you give me those and then tell me who you like on either side of the ball?
All right. So Houston's in the playoffs, cannot advance. The Titans are eliminated, right? That's the baseline. This is a special situation. First of all, with the Titans, they lost their quarterback last week. They're putting in a backup. They're, you know, not. It doesn't look good for their offense at all with the backup quarterback in there. To make matters worse, the Titans have been the most generous team to opposing wide receivers and quarterbacks on the year, or they're at the bottom three or four teams in that in those categories. So they give up lots of points. They were the team that Blake Bortles had his renaissance against last week, right? So here come the Texans. Well, Kevin, you said teams who are in the playoffs with nothing to gain are going to rest their starters. Yeah, most of them will, but not when you have Tom Savage as a new starter with very, very little experience. I don't see any real reason to be resting Tom Savage. I mean, the guy needs some playing time. If they're going to have any chance the week after this to do any damage, I think you play Savage the whole game and give him reps, right? So, with that said, will DeAndre Hopkins – everybody was on Hopkins last week, the Savage to Hopkins combination. It didn't work. Didn't work. They happened to be playing a very good defensive team. The matchup wasn't good. This isn't a good defensive team, and this matchup is very good. And Tennessee and Houston is not going to have Lamar Miller in the game, so they're going to need to throw. So if ever, oh ever, there was a time to play DeAndre Hopkins in a lineup, it might be this week.
I can't believe we got all the way to week 17 before saying that.
Yeah. I said it the first few weeks, and that didn't work out. And then we took a break. So it's a DeAndre Hopkins special. That is the one situation where he can break the team with nothing to gain that's in the playoffs rule, because, again, it's a unique circumstance with this quarterback and this offense that's been terrible all year. It doesn't make any sense for them not to try to get some momentum going into the playoffs. So I think they will play the starters, and I'm comfortable with Hopkins in the game. You know, if you want to go Texans defense, I like. Why not? You know, they're playing a backup quarterback for Tennessee. Can't be very good. So let me see who this backup quarterback even is. Oh, Matt Castle. All right, Matt Castle's not that terrible. I mean, he's not good, but he's not the worst. He is a veteran. So, but I can still see him being terrible. So I'm down with Houston defense here, too. I don't think many people will be on it.
Okay. And that, well, that's a road defense, so you know a lot of people will be off of it.
No. Oh, yeah, it's on the road. That's right. So, but again, it's Tennessee. And a backup quarterback and an ugly situation for them. Yeah, that's
I'm
it
just
for
call,
that
I'm
game.
Just,
yeah, you're
I
right.
Just
it is
calling
a
it low. I was just calling it low ownership. You got anything else from this one?
No, nothing at all. No,
all
we
right.
got another. The next one is ugly.
It is ugly, and it features your Jets. Buffalo goes into the New York Jets, and we've got a 6-point road favorite in Buffalo, 44-point total. Give me the good stuff.
I'm just looking at this game and thinking, you know, listen, if you want a GPP, for the most part, this game should be ignored. Even Powell, I think he's hurt. He's not practicing. I mean, Fitzpatrick's playing. He likes Quincy Enunwa, whatever. You know, I'm kind of thinking this is a game to avoid. There might be some thought that people are going to want to play McCoy or E.J. Manuel to Sammy Watkins. And on paper, it's a very good matchup. Jets can't stop wide receivers. Sammy Watkins burns the Jets more than any other wide receiver. So this is like in a GPP, sure, play Sammy Watkins here. I'm not sure about E.J. Manuel and his ability to throw. You know, they're not playing Tyrod Taylor. McCoy, I'm not feeling great about him. He could have a big game, but I could also see them just resting him. You know, he's a vet. He's had a very heavy workload this season. I could see them sort of going heavy Gillislee or some other running back, and this game just feels like a turd. So for me, I'm not really going to touch anything from it. I'm just going to fade the whole thing. But if somebody wants to take a shot in some GPPs with either Watkins or LeSean McCoy, you know, be my guest. But that's it for that one.
If anything at all.
Yeah, and even worse, I'm not even going to let you introduce it. Cincinnati, Baltimore, don't play these guys. Don't. This is the veteran teams, nothing to play for, eliminated. There's nothing here. There's nothing here. Move on.
Will you let me introduce the next one?
Yeah, do the next one.
Okay, because, man, I mean, I got to get some airtime here.
There we go.
We've got New York Giants going into Washington. Washington, 8-point home favorite. Game total, again, a 44. I'm assuming Washington D is in play, but do you like Fat Rob?
Yeah, let's just approach this from the beginning. Giants have the fifth seed locked up. They will not play their starters.
Yes, they will. The coach said they're going to play them.
No, they won't. They'll play for a couple of series, and then they're going to pull them. Or they'll play for half, and then they're going to pull them. Or the coach really believes in his own mind that he's going to play the starters, and then somebody's going to get tackled hard, or something will happen, and say, fuck this. Pull these guys. So I'm playing it like the Giants are not going to play hard. They will pull their starters at some point during this game. They have nothing they can advance to. They're the fifth seed no matter the win or lose. As far as Redskins go, that's different. They need to win to get in. And no, I'm not going to play Redskins defense because they're terrible. But Redskins need to win to get in. So I really love the Redskins here because the Giants won't give a shit. They're in. They're not going to play their starting unit, certainly in the second half most likely. So, and the Redskins are going all out. Cousins. Now, even Jordan Reed is claiming he's going to play. He's practicing, right? So what do we do with that situation? My suggestion is to fade it. I still don't trust Reed. I don't trust the shoulder. I think he's playing because he knows his team needs him and blah, blah, blah. But you know what? I don't trust the shoulder. He's tried to play the last 3 weeks. It hasn't worked out. There's no way he's healthy. So, yeah, you want to take a shot with him? It will not be on my recommendation. As far as Cousins goes, yes, I like Cousins very much. DeSean Jackson and Pierre Garçon are the primaries. Jay Crowder is sort of a secondary option at this point. More of a GPP-only kind of contrarian. He hasn't had a big day of targets in a while. Really, ever since Jordan Reed's been out, DeSean Jackson and Pierre Garçon, to an extent, have really seen an increase in the targets. So that's where I'm going again this week in this game. I like Cousins as well. Now, Fat Rob you asked about. Fat Rob's got some questionable health right now. I'm not really sure if we could trust him based on the practice reports and this questionable tag. I'm going to go with other situations this week instead. Not because I wouldn't like Fat Rob if he was fully healthy, but we saw last week he was coming out of the game. Other guys were getting in. They brought in Max Brown or some other dude. Like if Fat Rob was out, then that Mac Brown guy would be a very interesting play. But his injury cost me a lot of money last week, so screw that. I'm not going back to that. He's questionable, came out of the game. He's expressed, quote, confidence that he'll be active, but that's not good enough for me. So why bother? There's plenty of value this week. DraftKings, FanDuel, there's value everywhere. Why take chances?
Sounds good.
I'm not going that way. So, yeah, that's it.
All right, moving on.
That's that, yeah.
That's that. And that's that. Moving on. Jacksonville at Indianapolis. Indianapolis is the home favorite, 4.5 points. And we got a 47-point total on this one, so it's a little bit juicier. But again, it comes down to who has what to play for.
Okay, so both of these teams eliminated. Let's start there. Neither team has what to play for. But that's not exactly true because these teams – well, pardon my TiVo there. Because these teams are – in very different sort of circumstances. Jacksonville, young quarterback, terrible season, a little momentum coming off of last week's win. They'd like to end, you know, fire the coach. They'd like to end on a positive note. Literally no reason to rest anyone on the Jags. Flip side, Colts. Again, we've got established veterans like Luck and Hilton who are, in essence, established players. It's been a rough season. Luck is always questionable. He's questionable this week. Hilton is always questionable, also questionable this week. So, old man running back in Frank Gore, 30,
9, 40, 45 years old or something like that. So Buck is
it's
questionable right now. So this is
– Latin 45.
I think he's in his mid-40s. I'm pretty sure he was playing football when I was watching the 49ers play the Giants in the NFC Championship game. I think it was back in 1986. Oh, yes. So.
He was roommates with Jim Brown in college. So, I mean, that tells
yeah,
you all you
there
need
we go. So, I mean, Luck brings a questionable tag to this game. I don't like it. Why are you putting your franchise out there and getting him hit? You know, same thing with Hilton. He's not questionable. The dude's been coming out of games with back injuries. Are they going to trot him out? Maybe. But I'm not risking it. They're not in the same situation. So I am comfortable with Allen Robinson. Last week, Blake Bortle, Allen Robinson, Marquise Lee. Those were the lineups I had at the top of GPPs. It was my Bortles stacks of all of the ones. Like that's the yeah, it's the Bortles and my Rogers stacks. Those are the ones that did the best. But the Bortles ones did really the best because they were super cheap. So why not? Why not go back to the well here? Colts don't have much defense. Bortles, Allen Robinson, Marquise Lee, take your pick. There's no running back on the Jags. I think. I mean, Ivory, can we trust him? He came out of the game also last week. We got a lot of carries, but he came out last week. Yeldon is on IR. You know, Denard Robinson was just signed. Screw that. So they don't really have a running back on the Jags of consequence. So probably going to throw it a lot. And why not have another big week for Allen Robinson before the season's through? I'm down with that.
The ultimate in garbage time season numbers.
Yeah. Wait, well, there it is. I like that. Allen Robinson and Blake Bortles have always been garbage time heroes. This is, in essence, garbage time of the season for them. So maybe this is going to be their best thing. This is when they do best, during garbage time.
Yeah, if they have big weeks, at least their seasons will come off looking across the entire season as maybe mediocre.
Well, Blake Bortles tricked everybody thinking he was a good fantasy quarterback because he would put up garbage points. But then when you actually watch him, you're like, oh, no.
Shit,
he sucks.
If you could only predict garbage time.
Yeah, it was like, wow, I probably should have been watching those games instead of just reading the stat line at the end because then I didn't realize how bad he was.
I got so saved accidentally in my season-long stuff because I was so high on Blake Bortles and somebody took him earlier than I wanted to. I was so high on Allen Robinson. Somebody took him higher than I wanted to. And I was just like – I got to about week six. I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, I think that was me who took them earlier, by the way.
I got saved from myself.
Pretty sure anyway. That was me taking him earlier in all of my leagues. all right, so.
All right, we can move on to another NFC East showdown.
Here we go.
Dallas at Philly. Philly 6-point favorite, 42.5-point total. Again, what the hell is there to play for?
This is an ugly one. All right, so Dallas locked into the number one overall seed. The only reason they're going to play their starters here is just to keep them fresh. They have a bye week anyway. So why not, you know, get the guys some work? We don't want 3 weeks off before we play our next game. So they're going to get them in there. They're going to play the first half, probably. I'm not touching any of those guys. By the second half, it's going to be Mark Sanchez at quarterback. It's going to be Darren McFadden at running back. It's going to be a bunch of ne'er-do-wells at all the other positions. So screw that.
Nice to get that one in there.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I've been waiting to use that all season. So, yeah, we don't want to touch the Cowboys. It's exactly the game we want to avoid. As far as the Eagles go, they're going to try to win because what else do they got to do? They're a young team. They have no reason to rest anyone. So in tournaments, I mean, Zach Ertz, Jordan Matthews. Now here's where it gets interesting. The only two healthy running backs for the Eagles are Darren Sproles and Byron Marshall. Byron Marshall got a bunch of carries. I think 10 carries a couple weeks ago when, you know, I guess everybody else got hurt. In a different game. So Byron Marshall has a legitimate shot to get a lot of carries at 3,000 on DraftKings. And it's interesting. I don't think they're going to use Sproles. I mean, he's old. And I don't think they're going to go crazy like pounding him up the middle for 25 carries in the last game of the season. I just can't see it. I think they're going to give it to Byron Marshall.
Maybe it wasn't Jim Brown. Maybe it was Darren Sproles that was college roommates with Frank Gore.
Sproles is actually quite older than Gore.
It's frightening.
Sproles had graduated by the time Gore was going to college.
That's giving him a lot of credit there, buddy.
Yeah, well,
strategy. Not to derail you, fire on. I'm just messing with you.
Yeah. All right. So basically, yeah. Obviously, we're don't get cute with Dallas. No one to play there. Nothing to see. You could play some Eagles players. I'm not going crazy using Carson Wentz, and I'm not expecting a big game out of any of these guys. But, you know, I think Byron Marshall is punt worthy. I think Zach Ertz remains an acceptable tight end punt play. And Jordan Matthews is cheap enough this week that he's actually playable as well. I mean, Jordan Matthews, he's actually very, 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 very cheap. And this is all DraftKings stuff. On FanDuel, we don't need to go this far. On FanDuel, we don't even need to worry about any of these guys. It's one of the I like FanDuel for that reason. You don't have to fuck around with really, really sketchy plays. So it's just a different scoring system. But on DraftKings, for example, Jordan Matthews is 4,700. That's pretty cheap for a guy who's probably going to get, you know, 6, 7, 8. I mean, he'll get 10, 11 targets some games. Some games he'll have a little less. But, I mean, he averages 10 targets a game. You know, 4,700, 10 targets? Sure. Sure, why not? Moving on.
Yeah, moving on. Another division game, but again, another crappy game. Chicago goes up to Minnesota. Minnesota's 5.5-point favorite here, which surprises me a little bit. And very low total at 41. So what – is there anything here worth a crap?
There are some potential plays here. Nothing great. I mean, we never want to get too crazy with a 41-point total. But there are some potential plays. Let's first acknowledge that both of these teams have been very good defensively for the most part of this season and mildly offensively challenged, both teams. So we're starting there. The main things I'm looking at in this game is, number one, we saw quite an impressive game from Adam Thielen last week. Quite impressive indeed. I'm not really sure why he shouldn't be able to have another good game. He's definitely become the primary wide receiver target for Sam Bradford by far. Mm-hmm. It feels a little like chasing points. Last week was the huge game for Thielen. Pissed me off because I was all in on Thielen the week before and he comes out hurt like the second play of the game. And I'm like, oh, and then I just ignored him last week because he screwed me the week before, of course. And
that's how it works.
No shares. So that sucked. But feels like chasing points, but nonetheless, his price hasn't gone up that much. So yeah, I mean, I don't love getting involved with these games. Again, it's tournament play only for me. But the other guy is Cam Meredith, one of the highest scoring players on DraftKings over the past 3 or 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. And wide receiver. So, I mean, the situation sets up pretty well for him again here. You'd expect Xavier Rhodes to shadow Alshon Jeffrey. That should open up targets for Cam, who I believe operates out of the slot. Why not? He's been doing well. They're going to throw a lot. They got no reason to rest. They got Matt Barkley out there. He's trying to play to prove himself as being somebody who's good. Bears have no reason to rest anyone. I'd give it a shot with Cam Meredith. I like him probably even better than Thielen. And then Kyle Rudolph is always in play, is, you know, one of a very few tight ends that have a shot at having a decent day.
So no defenses in this one based on these quarterback stuff. You're just moving on with that.
Yeah, I mean, I have the Vikings defense on my list this week just because, you know, a player like Matt Barkley can implode at any time. I believe he had like 5 interceptions 1 week or something ridiculous. So,
right.
Sure, Vikings defense is in play as well, and they're on my and my Geeks Picks list.
Okay, well, good. Then we got a little bit of something out of it. Let's move on to a game that's maybe a little better, but not a lot.
No, this game has appeal. This game does have appeal.
The Carolina-Tampa Bay game has appeal to you. Tampa Bay being 6-point favorites in a 46.5 total, which at least Vegas has given us some points to work with here.
Yeah, I'm going to give you why there's appeal here. Number one, the Bucs do have something to play for, be it a long shot. But with the win and some other crazy shit happening, they could get into that last spot in the playoffs. So they're all in, right? Mm-hmm. The Panthers are playing the last game of a season in which last year they were in the Super Bowl. They came in this year with very, very high expectations. Now reality is setting in that they had a shit season. You know, they're not motivated to come out and win this last game. All they're thinking is, what a fucking shitty year this has been. It's disappointed. Mm-hmm. It's disappointing. Everybody's disappointed in us. We just want to go home and bury our heads in the sand.
Time to play golf.
Yeah. It's a quit spot on the road for Carolina. Whereas the Bucks should be all in. A, they haven't had a winning season in forever, and getting this win sort of puts them over this "we got a winning season" hump thing. So that's something they're going to be really motivated to play for. And I think it's a prime quit situation for the Panthers. Now, the notes on the game are the only active running back pretty much for the Bucks is Jaquizz Rodgers. Sims and Doug Martin are both out for various reasons. Jaquizz is the only game in town, unless you want to count some of these, you know, kind of bench fodder types, which I don't. Last time Quiz was the only game in town, he fucking beasted for 25 touches. I'm all in.
One of the nicer calls of the season, by the way.
Yeah, all the weeks of Jaquizz were that, right? So, and that was, yeah, that was really good stuff. The other guy I like is Mike Evans. Listen, there's not a lot of Cameron Braid is out, so there is not a lot of people to throw to, especially in the red zone. So I just see Evans just getting peppered with targets in this game. The Panthers play a zone defense, and, you know, it's hard to kind of get big plays off on them. But like I said, I feel like they're probably going to quit anyway. And even if not, I see Evans as a guy who's going to get, you know, 12-plus targets in this game. That's pretty good stuff. So Evans, Quiz. Now, originally I put Greg Olsen in my tournament plays, and I'm changing that.
Okay.
I don't like Olsen. He's still questionable. He hasn't practiced all week. He is the classic veteran hurting player. There's no reason to trot him out on week 17 in a meaningless game type guy. So I think I'd rather not mess with Greg Olsen.
Fair enough for me. So that means that all Carolina's off the board for you then.
Yeah, I would not touch anybody on the Panthers.
Sounds fair. All right, next one. Runoff Cleveland to Pittsburgh. Cleveland at Pittsburgh. God, Steelers 7.5-point favorites, which
no, that's got to have changed. Hang on a second.
Yeah, I don't know how to feel about that one with the situation, you know, like you're saying, who still, to play for, who has something to play for.
No, this is a client. This is the perfect situation to discuss that again.
Yeah,
the Steelers have already announced they're not starting Bell or Brown or Ben.
Right.
We know this.
Right, which makes that 7.5 or 6 even feel pretty high.
It's interesting. Yeah, it's even 6 points even still. Now, Landry Jones is going to be there, and they'll trot out who this or that guy. They don't have a lot of wide receivers on the Steelers. Like, it's not like they can just play no one. There are not that many guys. Once you take out Antonio Brown, and you have Eli Rogers, Darius Hayward-Bay. You know, they don't have that many guys on the team, so they're going to have to play some of these guys. And Corey Coleman, Colby Hamilton, Ricardo, DeMarcus Ayers. I don't like any of them. So
I was going to say, but are you reaching for any of them?
No, not touching any of them. But they have to field a team. A lot of people talking about D'Angelo Williams. I don't think it's going to be D'Angelo Williams at all. That guy's coming off a long-term injury. He played 2 snaps or 3 snaps last week. I think it's going to be Fitzgerald Toussaint, who they run out at the running back position for most of this game. And I think he'll probably get a shitload of carries. They're just going to want to run, and kind of run and be done with the game. So
And even with Cleveland being bad against the run and with Vegas saying that they're still huge favorites, that's still a no for you. I'm just clarifying.
If somebody wanted to take a shot with Toussaint, sure, go for it.
Turn.
At least he's only 3,000. Like, at least he's the cheapest possible price. So, I mean, or actually, he's 4,300. That's way too high.
Yeah, that's the Cleveland effect.
Really? They jacked up it. Why has this guy's price been 4,300 all of these weeks? Wait a second. Do you realize that Fitzgerald Toussaint has been in the fours since week 13?
No, because the guy hasn't been on my radar ever.
No, and he's put up zeros every single week. He had a 2.8. What the hell? What's up with this guy's salary? So screw that. That's weird. Why the fuck did they have him not at 3,000? No idea. So anyway, no, I kind of like the other side of this game a little bit, though. I mean, like, you know, Cleveland, they're probably going to run with Isaiah Crowell a lot. And, you know, Terrell Pryor is going to be featured, and you know, Pittsburgh's going to be rolling out their second-team defense. So the punt guys here are probably on Cleveland. You know, if you want to take a shot with Crowell or Terrell Pryor Sr., sure. Again, none of these guys are going to probably make many of or any of my lineups. If they do, it's going to be some very, very small percentage because I'm trying to stick to games with things that mean something.
Okay. So my question to you is, in some kind of a hybrid lineup, would you load it with a chalky core and toss one of those guys in here? Or in a hybrid type lineup where you're only playing in maybe 100-man contests or 500-man contests and under, are you even going to mess with it?
Probably not.
Okay.
Yeah, in a GPP, when I'm doing 150 max entry,
right,
I might throw 5% exposure onto some of these guys. When I say that, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Like,
yeah,
low exposure in when I'm doing 150 lineups. I'm doing my hybrids, my sort of head-to-head type stuff. No, I'm sticking with my core of players that have something to play for, or these young guys like the Allen Robinsons or the DeAndre Hopkins types that I think still will get a full workload because I have sort of reason to believe it.
Yeah, I think I bring that up on occasion just so you got a chance to clarify again that, you know, there are lineups that we do take chances with and lineups that we don't take chances with. And when we end up with a situation like this, sometimes it's important to clarify that this still is not a spot we're taking. It's still a risk.
It's more levels of risk that I want to take in different types of lineups. Like, you know, yeah, you're willing to take a shot here or there on something crazy and when you're doing 150 and you're looking for the nuts lineup. But, you know, I don't need to, especially in a week like this, I don't need to reach that far. There's just enough value to be had that there's no real motivation for me to start, you know, looking for, hey, who's going to play in the second half as a backup coming in for some guy who's going to be rested.
Right. Well, that would be getting cute.
Yeah, we'd be getting too cute. We can get a little cute, but we don't want to get too cute.
All right. Well, then we can move to the next game then.
Yeah.
All right. This one's kind of a track meet, man. This one opened at 56, 57 points back on Monday. New Orleans at Atlanta. We know the offenses. We know. And now Atlanta surprised me with a 7-point spread, but the 55.5 point total is obviously screaming chalk shootout, chalk alert, stack it up, stack it in, all that kind of stuff. I'll let you do that, actually. I should let you do the rap part.
I will not do the rap today.
You will not do the rap part?
There will be no rap. No. But
no rapping here.
Yeah, no, I do like the stack in this game, though. But the Falcons need the win. They need the win. They have a shot at the second the number two NFC finish. They have a shot at the bye week. Very important game for them. They need the win. They're at home. Saints are not known as a team that gives up in week 17. They haven't done it in the past. They've played hard. I think last year Drew Brees put up like 4 touchdowns. So I fully expect the Saints to play this game all in, especially against a divisional opponent. They would love to spoil, you know, something for their divisional opponent as well. So I expect both teams to go all out as if this was a regular season game. Highest total of the week, it's now up to 56.5 points. Pretty sweet. So
are you stacking both sides of it?
Yeah, I mean, you can do a lot here. So the question marks here come down to, I mean, you have your obvious plays and your question marks. Like the big question mark is like, what's the deal with Julio? Is he hurt? Is he good? Is he, you know, or he came off the injury last week, but he played, I don't know, 60% of the snaps. Will they give him more this week, you know, coming off of that game? I'm going to wait to hear a few more camp reports, but right now it seems like he came out of that really well. And I'm actually thinking Julio is finally playable in this spot. Matt Ryan doesn't really have anybody else to go to with his passes. So I think you gotta have Julio in there, especially in a high-scoring game like this has the potential to be. Like if this is high-scoring. Now, we've seen these two teams play once before, and in that one, it was all Freeman and Tevin Coleman. Can that happen again? Sure. I do think one of Freeman or Coleman is going to have a big game. You're never fully sure who that's going to be.
Weren't they both catching passes like crazy, though, in that game?
That game was just ridiculous. But I mean, you can't expect history to repeat itself like that.
Sure. Well, of course not, especially being in division and whatnot in second game of the year. But, I mean, that they weren't just handing it off and running up the gut. I mean, guys had big games because they were swinging out wide, getting out in the open, making guys miss and making plays.
Lots of passing game work. The Saints just look terrible defensively. The Saints have looked better than that recently. But they looked terrible defensively that game. Like, you could run all over them. They could not stop anybody. So, yeah, Freeman is my primary. Coleman's a secondary. Matt Ryan to Julio Jones. that's pretty much it for the Falcons side of it. Looking at the Saints, you have Breeze to Mike Thomas is the number one. Breeze to Cooks is the number two. The first time these teams played, actually, Kobe Fleener had a big game, so he's a sleeper.
Put me to sleep.
No, he's a sleeper here. Kobe Fleener. No, I think he's going to have a couple big plays. I could see using Kobe Fleener as a punt. And then there was a blurb about how the Saints coaching staff was really into trying to get Ingram a 1,000-yard season. And I guess he's within some number of 1,000 that's not too far off. So that's pretty interesting and makes me want to play Ingram a little bit, because the fact that they are down with stuff like that. Like Sean Payton, if you have a record to go for, like, he's going to try to get it for you. Like that is the type of coach. He's done that before. When Breeze was chasing a touchdown record, they were all about getting him the record. Same situation I remember a few years back. So I think they're going to try to get Ingram those extra touches. I've seen the last few weeks that Ingram has sort of taken back the lead back status where Tim Hightower has been sort of relegated to the change of I'm going to say the rest back where they give him a couple of plays off. But if you see, you know, the ratio seemed to be about 70-30 from Ingram to Hightower, which is pretty well workhorse level ratios. So I do like Ingram as a sneaky play. I don't think a lot of people are going to be on him. So, you know, top plays, Matt Ryan, Michael Thomas, Brandon Cooks. Then you have Drew Brees, Mark Ingram, and Devontae Freeman, with Coleman and Fleener being more tournament plays this week.
Fair enough to me. So next one is New England going down to Miami, taking a 9.5-point total on the road. 44.5-point game total. The Patriots still need to win. So do you see them playing hard here, or do you see them doing just enough to get the job done?
You know, when I was thinking about this game, I had the scene from Princess Bride come to mind, where I'm thinking and then outthinking and trying to outthink Bill Belichick. All right, so Patriots need the win to lock up the number one seed, right? First overall. Mm-hmm.
Right.
That or a Raiders loss will get them the number one seed. The Raiders just lost their quarterback and are trotting out Matt McGloin for both this week's game and for the first playoff game, which they will have a bye one way or the other. So I'm thinking, like, Belichick can't be too worried. Like, even if the Raiders somehow win this week with McGloin at quarterback.
They're in Denver, dude. That's not exactly an easy game to win.
They're not winning that game. But even if by some miracle they did win that game, are they winning the first playoff game with Matt McGloin at quarterback? The Raiders aren't exactly a team that dominated defensively. Their thing is they score a lot of points. So to me, if I'm Belichick, I'm not too worried about first or second seed. I'm pretty much thinking I'm cruising home field throughout either way. So will they play hard? Sure, I think so. But are they going to really be concerned about this win? Probably not.
Does that make it a blunt game?
It could, but they can surprise you.
Well, they can always surprise me. I just wonder if they're going to try, but not try all the way as hard as they can.
I think Blunt is going to get a ton of carries.
Just run it with Blunt. See you, pal. Just keep
could be, boosh, but boosh, but it was weird. Power. Last week they ran it with Deion Lewis much more than Blunt. Yeah. So can I really trust Blunt? No. I can't trust any of these guys.
It's not that you can't trust Blunt. It's that you can't trust Belichick.
Well, you can't trust Belichick because, I mean, they gave Deion Lewis 18 carries last week.
Right. And they threw to James White and whatever. You would just think, God, 9.5 points, man.
Seems like a great spot for the Patriots, sure but does. It also is very, very tough to actually pick players from the Patriots that you want to use.
Absolutely.
I put in only really Julian Edelman. He gets a lot of targets, and if you want that sort of targets upside on DraftKings, safe kind of floor, and I think Edelman is a pretty good situation. And I'm kind of looking at Jay Ajayi, who is coming off that big week last week. He's at home. Obviously, the Patriots are going to be prepared for him, but you know, when the Dolphins are on. Ajayi just does his thing. So he's not going to be a primary play for me this week, but, I mean, he's definitely in play.
Ajayi. No Jarvis Landry for you, even though last time when they played New England in New England, he torched them.
Don't care.
Okay. Just clarifying. I do love your little blurb in there. You crossed out Crosby, but Landry Parker still is Nash.
Yeah.
That's, again, for those of us that fart dust, that's a funny one.
I throw what do they call it when they put things into movies and TV shows? Like little hidden hints and things just to see if people are actually reading
it. See, now you just made me think of all the Disney movies with the hidden penises in them.
No,
stop it.
No,
just,
not that, you sicko. I'm talking about like, you know, when you're watching one of these shows.
All your little hidden references or whatever.
Yeah, like really cool producers will throw little things in there. Like on The Walking Dead, like every episode has like a number in it, and the number's hidden somewhere, and the numbers mean something. And, you know, if you're really crazy into the show, you kind of like know about that. You're on some forum talking about it with other people, and you're like, oh, 43, dude, that's how many, you know, are going to get killed or whatever.
That's like fantasy sports, though, because you sit there around a bunch of guys that are talking the stuff. One dude figures it out, says it to the group, and then the whole group goes out and tells all their friends like they thought of it themselves.
There we go. That, like Game of Thrones style with all those theories. Like I knew I'm not gonna spoil it, but you know, I had known the origins of Jon Snow, or at least those theories, quite a while back.
There
so,
you go.
I like to throw those little things.
No, that was a good article. Like I said, for guys at fart dust, who knows who Crosby, Stills, and Nash and Young were. That's a cool one.
Yeah, Arizona
Hall of Fame, folks. Yeah, let's move on. Arizona goes to L.A. Low point total, 41 points. Arizona 6-point favorites. What the hell?
There's really three plays in this game. First of all, the Rams, no. So David Johnson, nothing to play for either team. But Arizona's had nothing to play for a lot of weeks, and they're still giving David Johnson 30 touches a game. So I don't see why that's going to change so much. David Johnson, yeah, the Rams are pretty good on defense, and you know they're good at stopping the run, blah, blah, blah. No one can stop David Johnson.
Right.
So David Johnson, Arizona defense, because it's the Rams, and my one sneaky GPP play is J.J. Nelson, because can you not see – Carson Palmer launching a bomb or two to this guy.
Yeah.
He can have three receptions, 120 yards, and two touchdowns.
He destroyed me last week.
Didn't use him or you did?
No, he knocked me out of season-long shit. I was fighting for third and one. He torched me. I was like, this guy's using Corey Coleman and J.J. Nelson. I own his ass.
You're like, I got this, right?
I got my ass whipped by 25 points.
J.J. Nelson, 25 points last week. J.J. Nelson, 15 points the week before. J.J. Nelson, one reception, 56 yards, a touchdown, but also got a rushing touchdown in there.
Yeah.
Like, this guy does some crazy shit. So 2 weeks before, 20 points. Why not use J.J. Nelson? He's the only game in town. Larry Fitzgerald has worn down.
That's it. That's exactly what it is. It's age.
He's old. He's not
Same
looking
thing.
As spry right now. So J.J. Nelson. Yeah, no one's going to be on him.
I'm telling you, I'm picturing the high school or college cafeteria, and Larry Johnson just pulled up a seat with Frank Gore and Darren Sproles.
They all went to the same.
Yeah, they all hung out in the same place. They were on the same crowd.
Yeah.
So Arizona defense, David Johnson, maybe an outside shot at J.J. Nelson, who it sounds like you're a little higher on than just an outside shot. Sounds like you might use him.
I'm definitely going to use him.
Sweet.
Like when I say outside shots, I'm going to use J.J. Nelson this week, no doubt.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Anyone else out of that game even?
No. Arizona defense, though, is going to be good. You know, there's five or six defenses that are all in really great spots this week. Arizona's one of them. And they're super cheap, too. That's what I like.
And again, being a road favorite, you're going to get them at a little bit lower ownership than you might if they were at home for sure. And they might sneak through and be about the second, third, fourth highest owned defense on the radar this week.
I believe Denver will be the chalk.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Backup quarterback, all that stuff. All right, well, let's move. Let's get a little closer to that Denver game then. Kansas City at San Diego. This is obviously a division rivalry. 4.5. What's that?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
I was just going to say 4.5-point favorite for Kansas City. That's another road favorite. This is like a week of road favorites. There's a theme going. And a 45-point total. And obviously, my de facto team, the Chiefs, have quite a bit to play for here.
Yeah, they are playing for a bye. They need to win. They could drop as far as sixth, which is the worst possible situation because the sixth place team is going to have to play the Steelers. So this is definitely a game they're going to go all out to win. They need the win. That's the first thing. San Diego, nothing to play for except for pride. As far as Kansas City goes, Spencer Ware got hurt last week. I'm not sure what the deal is with him right now. I've been fading Spencer Ware.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Pretty much since week one. Like, I've been fading him every single week. I keep hearing, oh, he's in a good spot. And I've been fading him for the most part. He's had a couple good games. But for the most part, he's been disappointing this year. If he was playing, I would fade him. I don't know if he's going to play. If he doesn't play, Charkentrick West might come in. I'm fading his ass, too.
Oh, yeah.
West hasn't rarely, if ever, delivered anything, regardless of how many opportunities he's given. And I'm not going back there anymore. So regardless of either of these two guys, I wouldn't touch him. They give carries to Tyreek Hill. And Tyreek Hill is the exciting player here. So if I needed to get some exposure to that running game slash also a wide receiver, I'd rather go with Hill. I think Hill will avoid the quality cornerbacks from San Diego, and kind of he plays this hybridish role. He comes out of the backfield a lot. So I like Hill as a solid play, especially with Macklin being covered by Cam Hayward. Yeah. Travis Kelce has been the hottest tight end in fantasy for quite a few weeks in a row here. I mean, there was a dud in there against Tennessee, but I mean, Denver, 36 points.
Oh, it's 100-yard games, man. It's been 100-yard games. Since Nick Foles showed Andy Reid that the dude can ball out, when Alex Smith came back, it's all they've done is throw it at Kelce.
A lot of 100-yard games and not a lot of touchdowns in there, but he's still putting up big numbers. So, you know, the touchdown regression is going to come. I think Kelce will be the highest-owned tight end on the slate.
Probably.
For good reason. And he should be. It's not like the Chargers are good against tight ends. They're league average, mediocre, ranked 17th. So, hell yeah. We're going to get some Kelce. We're going to get some Tyreek Le Freak. Tyreek, as I like to call him.
There you go. Le Freak.
Yes. Now you have to say it with a French accent. Le Freak.
You're multi-talented.
I do accents. You have to use a little Tyreek. Travis Kelce. Now, here's the one interesting play. On the other side of the ball. When Casey comes to town, it's not like I'm going to go nuts charging using the Chargers. Matter of fact, Casey defense is probably in play here. Chargers don't have anything to play for, veteran team. You know, I could see them not giving a fuck. The one player who interests me, if Gordon's out and everybody else is out.
Who?
It's pronounced Gordon. If he's out and the rest of these – there's only one running back on this team if Gordon is out, and that's Ronnie Hillman. Hillman's a vet. You know, I'll take Hillman for 25 touches if there's no one else. They're going to throw to him. San Diego always throws to running backs. He's 3,700 on DraftKings. This is the type of punt that has potential. Now, he hasn't – I mean, he's had – he hasn't had much for targets this season, I'm not going to lie. But with no one else there, no one. Derek Watt. Kenneth Farrow's on IR. The only other name on this list is some guy named Derek Watt, and he looks like a fullback. He's big, he's fat, he looks slow. That's not going to be the guy. So, you know, Ronnie Hillman. Fuck it. It's worth a dice roll at home as a punt play. If Gordon is out.
Just to clarify, I will tell you that Spencer Ware had an MRI on his ribs. It was sore ribs, and he practiced limited today. Not that you're using him anyway. Not that that convinces you to use him.
Ware
or anything.
Ware is a non-starter for me. He will not be used.
I agree. You just mentioned you didn't know what was wrong with him. I was just throwing it out there. That's what's wrong with him. We can move on past the game, though, right?
Yep.
because we got everybody listed in that one. Seattle at San Francisco. Seattle 10-point road favorite. Good God.
43 this game point is so total. Excited. Hold on. I'm going to stop you there. This game is so exciting. Let's do a break, play our commercials, and come back.
Sounds fair to me. We'll take some breaks here.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army Podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today using the coupon code PODCAST on DFSArmy.com to unlock 20% off your monthly subscription and get 2 free ebooks, as well as the secrets to unlocking a new level to your game.
All right. That ought to clean everything up for you. You wanted to stop me. Why did you want to stop me so bad? Is this?
I'm excited about this game. That's why.
You're excited about this game? Okay, yes. Fire it up. Let me know.
Seattle has a shot at the second seed with a win and a Falcons loss. They want the bye week. They want home field. You know how important home field is for a team like Seattle that plays much better at home?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm laughing at the 10-point road favorite. Because it's a lot on the road, man.
I like it. So I expect Seattle to go all out for the win. First of all, we don't use players from San Francisco. Somebody told me that the Dom Station or our projections kind of liked Sean Drone this week. Don't play Sean Drone. I don't care what the projection says. No. But Seattle. So we're not touching anything to do with San Francisco. Seattle needs the win.
Oh, they do, dude. They like him tops.
It's ridiculous. Fuck that.
It's got him and Jerick McKinnon 1-2.
No. No. We will update that on Saturday, by the way. And hopefully I might have to go in and manually make some adjustments. Just, to those McKinnon, I don't hate. McKinnon's okay.
In terms of DraftKings value, I should clarify. It's got him – our spreadsheet stats have those guys listed 1-2 in terms of DraftKings value.
Yeah, because what happens on – when you list players based specifically on value, which means how many points per dollar are they projected to score? Well, it's taking a raw projection. It's taking their $3,000 salary, and a player that's expected to score 8 points on a $3,000 salary is like number one value compared to, other guys at $9,000 who are expected to score 24 points because, mm-hmm. The ratio is not different. So that is how projections work. The cheap, cheap, cheap guys show up as like the ultimate values, but we need to know to skip over some of those. Say in NBA, for example, every time I use my optimization tools and projections, you start seeing these backup guys projected for 16 points popping up as the best values. I just eliminate those guys. If you're a backup player, so one of my rules of thumb with projections is if you're under X amount of points, and depending on the sport, if your projection is below a certain number, like in NBA, for example, if you're below 22 points, I don't even consider you as a player. I eliminate all of those players automatically. That's how I do it for NBA, to get rid of these sort of backup guys who on their best day could, put up 16 points at 3,000. Screw that. I don't use guys like that. So anyway, let's get back to this.
I'm with you.
We're not using Drone. No. So Seattle. They lost Tyler Lockett last week. Those targets last week happened to go to Doug Baldwin. Baldwin's in another great spot here. He will be chalk. San Francisco happens to give up an inordinate amount of pass plays and points to slot receivers, which is the position Doug Baldwin plays. So on paper, he is a super play. Bonus that sort of the running game's a little sketchy for Seattle right now. Rolls kind of got hurt last week. He's back. It looks like he's going to play. But Seattle always lies also, so we really have to pay attention to practice reports. It looks like he's practicing. We got to pay attention all the way up to game time here. If Rawls goes down, the only other guy they have is this guy, Alex Collins, who we don't know anything about. I've never seen him. I think he's had some snaps this year, but I haven't seen them. And, you know, actually, if regardless of if he's good or not, Alex Collins, yeah, they jacked up his price too. Man, DraftKings is all over that shit. They jacked up. So he's had a couple. All right, so he's had 7 carries a game over the last 2 weeks. He's played because Rawls is always in and out of the game. Rawls is an in-game injury waiting to happen at this point. Like, it happens too often. Like, it almost happens more often than it doesn't with Rawls. Like, you can – it's not like some long shot. It happens, like, you know, half of the time. So I don't play that kind of thing, but, like, I'm still going to play Rawls if he plays because this is a ridiculously good spot for him. But if he's out, yeah, I would even give this Alex Collins guy a shot, even though they jacked up his price to a ridiculous level on DraftKings. But outside of that, the other play – so I mentioned Baldwin, Russell Wilson, Rawls slash Alex Collins, whoever starts. I also really like Jimmy Graham in this spot. I mean, Graham, we need a tight end that's going to do some damage this week. There's, you know, outside of Kelsey, there's not a lot of ways to look.
Right.
Graham, super cheap at this point because he hasn't had big games. 4,500 on DraftKings. Now, all these tight ends are really cheap on DraftKings, by the way. It's very strange. But Jimmy Graham, 4,500 on DraftKings. Now, he hasn't been seeing the big target numbers that he did earlier in some games earlier this season. Like, I don't know why that is, but with I feel like with Lockett out of the way, they're going to have to get him back into the game plan a little bit. Part of it has been because they've been using him. They've faced some tough defenses. So, all right, let's just take a quick look at the last 3 games. Arizona, very good defense. Rams, very good defense. Packers, pretty good defensive line as well. So in all of those games – now, the Packers game was this unique thing that Seahawks just looked like shit. But with the Rams and the Cardinals, these are quality defensive lines, and they were keeping Jimmy Graham in to help block at a tight end position. So he really wasn't running the patterns. He's staying in and blocking a lot. They're just not throwing to him because he's in there sort of getting chipped at the line. And, you know, teams are messing with this guy. So I don't think San Francisco has any sort of defensive skills. They're not going to be able to do that to him. So I think this is a bounce back spot for Jimmy Graham for cheap. I definitely like him. His salary has come down probably more than 1,000 off of its peak here. He's peaked out at about 6,100 on DraftKings. He's at 4,500 this week. He's down from 5,300 last week. It's a good spot to jump on board and buy him for cheap. Like, I like buying stocks after they've come down like 20%.
It's interesting that their pricing is usually so high and so tight, and yet he's come down so much.
Yeah, it's weird how it ebbs and flows. Some of the pricing is very difficult on DraftKings still this week, but these tight ends are cheap, and some of these running backs are pretty cheap too.
Good enough. Does that do it for the Seattle game for you?
Yeah, Seattle defense also.
In play, definitely in play.
Hell yeah.
So
this next game?
Yep, Oakland at Denver, up there Mile High. 3-point favorite is Denver at home, 40-point total, pretty low.
That's about – it's one of the lower totals of the week.
Not like the week we had 3 weeks ago where we're all 38s, but
– No, 40, but this is pretty bad, 40, yeah.
40's down there.
So what's Oakland going to do against Denver with Matt McGloin at quarterback?
They're going to try.
I mean, they need the win.
They're going to try.
They're certainly going to try, but are they going to succeed? they won't.
That's where we hit the dead end.
Yeah, no, they're not going to succeed. It's a very tough place to throw. You're talking about Denver. Now, Denver's got nothing to play for except for pride. But they're at home.
And they're at home.
They're going to play their defense. They've already talked about how – now, I think they might pull some starters, guys who are hurt at all. I do think Denver's going to sort of like – if Von Miller – has a, you know, hip injury or a knee or one of these starting quality defensive players, they'll pull him out. They have nothing to play for here.
Anything but, like going against your division rival and spoiling their shit, though, on your home turf?
Yeah, but I think the Raiders
overcome
spoiled them.
Anything?
Yeah, I think they're going to try to – Denver's going to play to win, but they've also already said that they're going to give reps to both Simeon and Lynch in this game, which means they're treating this game as a preseason game. Like, let's fuck around. They're not in it to win it. So Oakland might squeak this thing out. Maybe not. It's still McGloin, and he's still not professional quality caliber at quarterback as far as we know. So I don't like anything to do with either of these teams. Nothing. I could see Broncos defense being in play based on the McGloin factor, but I don't really feel like I want to roll out Emmanuel Sanders too much outside of GPPs or Demaryius Thomas. Like, they're going to be very, very sketchy plays to me. I don't like this whole two quarterbacks in the same game thing that they're talking about at Denver. That just irks me. So for the most part, passing on it outside of maybe some shares of Broncos defense.
Yeah, which looking at them, you said they'd be the chalk at the beginning of the podcast. I'm wondering, there are some other huge spreads out there that might take that away a little bit.
There are a couple other possibilities. I do think, though, Oakland coming into Denver.
Well, you got everything you're looking for. You got a
– I think Arizona might be up there, too. Outdoor
stadium, backup quarterback, all that. But Arizona, Seattle, I mean, you got some big spreads up there that I think – I don't know. It'll be interesting Arizona to see how it shakes out come Sunday.
Arizona could be the best of them. But my problem is with them is they're on a road. So, I mean, I never look at a road defense as chalk. But
I don't either unless the spread's freaking 10 points, which I know Arizona's is only 6. But, I mean
– there's some sneaky ones too. I could see playing Tampa.
I just saw that one too. And even Kansas City's a little sneaky.
Kansas City's playable. Yeah, their defense just puts up points.
They've been remarkably consistent. If you look at their game logs, it's 10 or 11 like for the last 7 weeks. It's
really Chargers, maybe
1 week. It's crazy.
The Chargers, especially with no running backs, but in general, the Chargers are very generous to defenses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, for sure.
But anyway, Broncos are in a good spot theoretically. It's just, and it's got everything you're looking for, low total, all that stuff. So, I mean, I can see playing the defense. I just don't know that it's the overwhelmingly favorite choice given some of the others. But anyway, we'll see how it turns out on Sunday. Moving on, Green Bay at Detroit. Green Bay, 3-point road favorite, 47-point game total. Is this one shootout?
Oh, my gosh. Chalk alert. All right, so you're like, 47 points, that's not a chalk alert. Yeah, this is the game. This is a game we want to piece up. Both teams, this is the only game this week where both teams need the win. Bad. I love this game. I think it's going to be the highest owned for good reason. I just think these teams are going to be going at it. Detroit loves to make a comeback. These can be close games. There's a lot of potential here. So, you know, starting with the Packers, been the hottest team in the league. Aaron Rodgers, I would say, has been one of the best quarterbacks this season, especially since about week 4 or 5.
Yeah, since he said he's going to run the table.
I mean, you know, he's woken up and the beast is released. What did somebody call them? Winter is coming? There was some Game of Thrones reference with these guys. Somebody threw in Slack today, which I really liked, and now I forgot what it was. But something about the North. The North remembers. I don't know. It was a Game of Thrones reference, and I love me a Game of Thrones reference. But I love Aaron Rodgers here. Last week it was Jordy Nelson. You know, Darius Slay probably going to be on Nelson. Last week I said Xavier Rhodes was going to be on Nelson, and then apparently the Vikings defense like had a mutiny and decided, fuck that, we're going to not shadow Jordy. And I don't know, some weird stuff came out after that game about what the hell was going on there. But yeah, I see Darius Slay is coming back. He's probably going to be on Nelson, but he's coming off an injury, and I don't believe that players off injury are able to be great. And, you know, I'm not scared. I'm scared of it. So I'll use Jordy Nelson. I'll use Devontae Adams. I'll use Ty Montgomery. I'll use Aaron Rodgers. And I'll try to get a piece of these guys in as many lineups as I can. Simple as that for the Packers. They're all good plays, every single one of them. Adams, Nelson, Rodgers, Montgomery. Play them. Cash plays, tournament plays, whatever you want. Mm-hmm. Flip side, the Lions defense isn't as easy to predict on a game-to-game basis. So what do we know? We know Riddick is out. Last week, Zach Zenner seemed to me to be the primary running back for the team. Zach Zenner led me to finishes in, I think I had 10 teams in the top 100 of the, you know, three-game sort of 50,000 entrant contest that ran between Friday. I guess it was Sunday and Monday.
Right, Sunday,
so,
Monday.
Yeah, the Sunday-Monday contest with the three games. Yeah, I had like 10 teams in the top 100. It was ridiculous, and mostly due to Zach Zenner, because I had quite a bit of exposure to Zenner, and I locked in Brown, Ben, Kelsey, and Zeke Elliott in every single lineup, which is what forced me to use Zach Zenner.
But it worked.
Because I had to find players that cost about $3,000 to fill out that lineup. So that worked out really well. Zach Zenner was a primary guy. You know, I don't like any running back against Green Bay, so I'm not going to be going crazy on Zenner. But he was the guy last week for whatever that's worth. My favorite play on Seattle is Golden Tate. I've given up on Marvin Jones Jr. I've capitulated on him. You know, at some point you have to accept that he sucks. I mean, last week I'm pretty sure he got 7 targets and had 1 reception. I mean, it's not normal. What is going on with this guy that he's so inefficient? And he's been like that all year. I'm just going to run through some of these numbers. 1 of 7. 3 of 5, 4 of 5, okay. 4 of 11, 3 of 7, 1 of 5, 2 of 6. I mean, 5 of 7, 6 of 8, 4 of 10. Like, this guy has a ton of these incredibly inefficient games where he gets peppered with targets and doesn't do shit. So ever since he torched the Packers in week 3, which maybe, you know, that could happen again, Jay Ajayi versus the Bills, last week style, the more likely result is Marvin Jones Jr. just sucks. So I don't want him outside of the tournamentists of tournament plays. Right?
I'm wondering what his average depth is on his routes.
He plays the deep ball, right? It doesn't matter. He's not on the same page.
They're obviously not all 50-yarders.
No, he's just not on the same page with Stafford for some reason. And it could be because he wasn't efficient on the Bengals. He was the same guy. So I thought he'd get better with
Stafford.
With the Lions, but he hasn't. He's pretty much the same guy he was with the Bengals. So not impressed. Now, Golden Tate, his usage fluctuates. But more often than not, he's getting 10-plus targets. And he is efficient. And this is how you know that this is an MJJ thing. I mean, 8 of 13, 6 of 6, 6 of 11, 8 of 10, 5 of 7, 11 of 12, 7 of 9.
But again, he's running the 1.5, 2-yard routes.
Not always. But yes, he's definitely running shorter routes.
I mean, most of the time. So, I mean, that helps some. But, I mean, I get your point. I know what you're saying.
He's more efficient. So, I mean, I'd rather have Tate. I like Tate as the whole Rodgers, like mixing him in with Rodgers, Nelson, Tate, or Rodgers, Montgomery, Adams, Tate. You know, kind of getting these sort of lots of exposure to this particular game type stacks going on. It's very easy to actually on FanDuel. You jump right on right now. You can do Rodgers, Adams, Nelson, Tate, Kelsey, and have lots of money left over for some quality running backs. Very doable.
God, that's fun when that happens.
Yeah, so lots of money left over. And of course, we're going to all go all in on Jaquizz. So then you really can spend up and get David Johnson in there. Well, shit, I just gave out a free lineup.
Oops. for those people that made it to an hour and 15 minutes into the podcast.
Oops. See, this is why you want to listen to the end.
So you got to listen all the way.
I just want to say, as that was the last game. So people are asking what's going to go on for the playoffs. I will be back for the playoffs in some fashion or form. I think it's probably going to be via a VIP exclusive podcast or something along those lines. Maybe I'll do a public. I'm not sure, but I'll have something going for the playoffs. First two rounds, the big 3-game slates. I'll be advising our DFS Army members. It's not that much to advise when there's 2 games. Like, what am I going to tell you? Play Tom Brady. But the point is, you know, I'll be around for those slates, at least for the 4-game slates, where there is a little bit to talk about. And I'm not sure. It's not going to be in a full-length Vegas Lions column, but it'll be either the podcast or something like that. And I'm sure I'll have some notes. I'll do some player picks notes or I'll type something up in Slack. And again, that's mainly because there's when you're talking only 4 games, there's just not that much to say. You know, we all know at this point in the season who these quarterbacks are. So we'll figure something out
for the playoff weeks, but
well, you might focus on deeper stuff, or you might focus on a stacking opportunity, or you might focus on some of that kind of stuff that's a little bit more GPP oriented, because in 3-4 game slates, the chalk is the chalk is the chalk.
Yeah, and we'll point out the chalk, though. You know, I'll make sure our guys take care of. Again, it'll probably be in the form of a podcast of some sort, just because I really like to talk about strategy with these shorter slates and like how to attack them. It's my favorite type of slate. I love the playoffs. Knock on wood, it's been great since I've been doing DFS, and I just generally like these small. I like the smaller slates. I like the 4-game slate. I don't like the 2 games as much, but I definitely like 4 or 5 game slates as sort of a size to attack. I mean, that's what Linnell, NBA $120,000 win. I mean, that was a 5-game NBA slate. And, you know, when you're max entering, it certainly can be helpful. You know, to sort of have a limited number of options.
Oh, 100%, absolutely.
Cool. All right, so that's it for this week. I will be back with a VIP only pod where I talk about the player picks for the week for our DFS Army VIP members. I will see you all in Slack or in the lobby, and I hope you, Chop, and everybody else has a really good week this week.
Yeah, you betcha.
Awesome.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army Podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today using the coupon code podcast on DFSArmy.com to unlock 20% off your monthly subscription and get 2 free ebooks, as well as the secrets to unlocking a new level to your game.